Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your cities upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Grace for This City podcast. I'm Justin. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join me as we gather around the Word. You know what we're going to look for? Scriptural motivations and scriptural strategies that will help you and I to get out there and get some stuff done for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we've been in a multi-week thought talking about being renewed in the mind, putting the Word first, all these thoughts kind of worked together. There's several themes that weave in and out between them all. I think the last couple were no condemnation if, talking about being led by the Spirit. There's some real themes that weave in and out of these episodes that we've done, some of the Bible topics that we've discussed over the last several weeks. I'm going to pick up kind of on a trailing thought a little bit, to where I can bring it kind of to a close. And it's based out of Romans chapter 12. So let's look at that. Romans 12, 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that," there's a comma there in front of the word "that," so we can say so that "you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Now the word, the English word "prove" is also translated "allow." So you've got to renew your mind if you're going to allow for God's perfect will to be done in your life. This is because you have to agree with Him. If you're not agreeing with Him, you're not allowing Him in your life. If you're not agreeing with what the Word says, then you're not positioning, posturing yourself to be able to experience these supernatural realities. Some people, they get disappointed because they're like, well, you know, this doesn't happen, that didn't happen, this didn't work, that didn't work, faith doesn't work, giving doesn't work, all these different things don't work, don't work, don't work. Well, as if you're perfect. But the reality is that just like that person or me or anybody else, if we're disagreeing with the Word, we're disallowing it to be actualized in our life. So if you want to experience God's good, acceptable, and perfect will, you have to change your mind and come into agreement with what the Word says. Stop arguing it. Stop resisting it. Stop disagreeing with it. When you get into the Bible, just start agreeing, believing everything you're reading. And suddenly what will happen is you'll begin to allow for these realities to demonstrate themselves or manifest in your life. Some people are like, well, I've tried healing and healing didn't work. Well, you didn't really agree with it at some point. You began to disagree that what the Word says concerning healing isn't true. For example, like in Peter, where it says, "By His stripes you were healed." Well, you have to agree with that. Like, you have to believe that on the onset. And then with faith and patience, you inherit the promises. The Bible doesn't work on your timetable, friends. And if you're leading with disagreements or contradictions, no wonder you're not going to experience God's perfect will. So I want to encourage you to start agreeing with the Word. If you will allow via agreement God's Word into your life, listen, it will eventually begin to manifest or demonstrate itself for you. The Word will start talking to you. It'll start helping you. It'll start rearranging stuff in your life. So I want to jump off this thought, Romans 12. We're going to dig a little bit into what the Bible says about getting our mind renewed, getting ourselves, let me say it like this, changing our mind in a deep place, not just surface stuff here. Like we've got to, the spirit of our mind, I'm going to show you that, the spirit of our mind has to be renewed, adjusted, altered, changed to begin to agree with the Word to start experiencing supernatural things. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll dive into this. And let's get the Word on it, friends. So Ephesians 4, verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk," watch this, "in the futility of their mind. Now, before I talk about that word futility, I want to back up to this concept here when it says Gentiles. Wherever you see like this word Gentiles, it's translated Greeks in another area, but it's a transliterated word from a Hebrew word, goyim, which just simply means the nations. Who are these Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles are anybody anywhere that does not have a covenant with God. One of the root concepts is heathen, okay? It's somebody that either doesn't know anything about God yet, the gospel hasn't come to them, so they haven't had an opportunity to accept or reject outright. But these are just people, wherever they are, doesn't matter what tribe, what tongue, what nation, doesn't matter. It's just anybody anywhere that does not have a relationship, a covenantal relationship with the Lord. There were two people in the Old Testament, the Jews and the Gentiles. This is 1 Corinthians 10. There were two types of people as God sees them. Let me say it like that. The Jews and the Gentiles. Well, the Gentiles, again, were those that didn't have covenant. They were heathen. And then you had the God's covenant people. And then in the New Testament, there's a third group of people added to the mix. They're called the church or the ecclesia. This is people that have a covenant. Some people call it the second covenant with God. But nonetheless, they're a particular group. And now there are certain judgments and futures associated with them. All right, so here he says, don't walk like these people that don't know anything. They don't have any relationship with God. They're not connected with him. They're not in covenant with him. There's no access to the truth that these people have because they've rejected truth himself. In our day, that would be Jesus. And he says, don't walk like them anymore. You used to walk like them before you were born again. Of course, this is Ephesians, so it's one of the letters, so it's written to the church specifically. All the information about that third group of people, the church, would be found in the letters. You won't find any information that concerns the ecclesia specifically in the Old Testament. All those prophecies and whatnot were written to God's covenant people, Israel, there. But here he's saying, you were a Gentile, you were far from God, you were alienated from him. Now you've been born again. So he says, don't walk like the rest of them in the futility of their mind. This word, futility, is also translated in other places as vanity. And here's what it means. It means depravity or perverseness. So when you were born again, all you had access to was just what James chapter 3 says is low, earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom. You can understand how that leads to great perverseness or depravity. You were without God, alienated, it'll say here in a second. All you had access to was depravity, total godlessness. So whatever wisdom, of course, James calls this low-level information a type of wisdom, but it's a demonic wisdom. It's just wisdom of this world, and it's perverse. It has its own end game, but it's godless. All right, so he says, don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Again, that word futility is translated vanity, but it means depravity, perverseness, and it also means this. It means to stop caring for that which is truthful. Now, you have to understand here, we are what? We're almost 6,000 years into God's dealings with man. Everybody came from Adam and Eve. And so there's been a progression of forgetfulness here, all right? This definition to stop caring for that which is truthful. We got people being born today that have really no concept. They have no historical framework because they don't care, so they don't do any kind of study. They don't do any kind of learning much. And where they're being born into now, their world, say, their company, their group, their influence group here, if nobody cares about anything, it's like about the history of man or genealogy or where we came from or how did we get here. You know, if nobody cares about any of that, then they're not going to have an understanding for why they're in the situation that they are in. For example, I'm just saying that everybody came from Adam and Eve, and there's been this progression of forgetfulness. There's been this progression of, well, I don't care what God's dealings with man have been or what history's involvement with God, that relationship with God has been. I'm where I'm at, and this is all I care about. Well, that's a sad state to be in, but again, this is how people get to that place of futility. They stop caring about that which is truthful. It's not that truth never existed. It's just that they don't care about it anymore. So here they are. They're in their environment. They're in their world. And some people just are just going to either further that. They're going to get stuck there. They're going to dig deeper. Or they're going to be like, let me ask some questions here. Let me find out what is the truth. All right, now let's go on here. Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened. Well, the moment you quit caring about truth or not even wondering if this is all there is, just because it's all you know doesn't mean it's all there is, but if you stop caring or even wondering if there's anything better or more truthful than what you're experiencing, then you just persist into this downward spiral, this depravity that just gets darker and darker and darker. And this is what he's saying. Their understanding's been darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And then it goes on to say, because of the blindness of their heart. You're not getting smarter, friends, if you pull the wool over your eyes. The Bible says that ignorance will grow as your mind and your understanding is being darkened because you're being alienated from the source of life, the source of truth, the source of wisdom that would be God himself, and particularly as expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Verse 20, but not you, he says, if you've so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, he says, if you've so learned Christ, then you would put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you would put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now I'm going to read verses 21 through 24 kind of in a, like a combination of translations. What I just read was the new King James, but here is like kind of a mixture here of various translations. He says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him because all truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, take off your old ways of living, your former self. Discard your old unrenewed self, which is sprung from delusion. That word is in the Amplified Bible. This is a powerful word. Delusion means this, if you're taking notes. Delusion is this, a way of thinking that is resistant to confrontation with truth. What is the actual definition of a delusional person? A delusional person is somebody that does not want to have a confrontation with truth. They are avoiding interacting with truth at all costs. That is the definition of delusion or delusional. It's not necessarily clinical insanity. Although people say, man, that person's delusional. Well, sure, but we got all kinds of delusional people who are walking on the streets right now. We've got delusional people in all levels of authority in our nation. We've got delusional people all over the place. It's like right now, delusion is being popularized. Delusional people are being made heroes. We've got people that think they are something that they are not. And what is this? Well, it is springing from this resistance to truth. They don't want to know the truth. The Bible says that is a dangerous place, friends. Their understanding is being darkened. And the further they persist in this delusion, the more alienated from the life of God they are becoming. Their past feeling. Can you tell the total lack of just feeling in people? It's almost like it's so cold. It's like they're zombies. These are dead men walking. There's no feeling here. There's very little emotion. He says that they have been given over to lewdness, lawlessness, perversion. This all springs out of this futility of the way that they're thinking. It is a total affront to God, but it's not just an affront. It leads to great depravity and darkness. It's like this downward spiral, and it grows and grows. There's a phrase called gross darkness. That's some intense darkness, and that's kind of where a lot of people are headed right now. Their minds are just sullied. I mean, absolutely, their minds have been taken over. The Bible talks about that if you persist in craving your own desires, what he'll do is he'll turn you over to it. Like where there was some restraint, maybe there was some resistance a little bit. We're talking about godly resistance. Some, if they continue to persist, it's like God removes any barriers that was actually helping them or keeping them from completely tumbling over themselves, spiraling out of control. That lifts, and suddenly they're just thrust into the very thing that they're lusting after or desiring. That's a dangerous place, absolutely dangerous place to be. But he says, but not you, because you've been born again, and you have desired to learn Christ. You've put on Christ. You've been taught by him. By the way, that is the righteousness that you and I walk in. Whose righteousness? Well, his righteousness. Why is it his righteousness? Because he's our tutor. He's the one teaching us. He's the one showing us how to live. This is how Jesus Christ lives, and he's tutoring us in his lifestyle. Well, that's called his righteousness, the right way of doing, the right way of being. He is our teacher. Praise God for that. I mean, what a gift. What teacher would you rather have? I mean, here the Heavenly Father has assigned to us his very own Son, Jesus, to be our tutor and to guide us in life. He says, but you've learned Christ. So we're taking off our old ways of living. We're being confronted. Christ is confronting us on every thought. And he is bringing the truth up to confront a way of thinking. And we're comparing our thinking to what he's teaching us. And anything that doesn't agree with him, we're discarding. See, that's what he's saying. You got to discard. You got to throw it away. You got to be willing to change your mind. When you're confronted with the word, you can't plow through and say, no, my way of thinking or my experiences are right or true. No, if the word confronts you, then you yield. You allow that word to challenge you in an area, and then you say, all right, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to renew my mind to now conform or to agree with what the word is telling me. And if you don't do that, at whichever point you resist truth, you become delusional in that area, according to the Bible. Again, delusion is a way of thinking that is resistant to a confrontation with truth. You do not want to build up habits. You don't want to construct strongholds that resist the Bible whenever truth begins to speak to you. You say, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. I run into Christians all the time that do not believe half of what they read. For example, I quoted you from Peter, that by his stripes you were healed. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, whatever, but a lot of people don't even believe that. Like, they don't even believe that Christ has already purchased and provided for their healing. Like, they're still asking, Lord, is it your will? Like, they don't believe half of what they read. And they're delusional in areas. I'm not saying totally, but just like me and you, unless we actually discipline ourselves to agree with the word whenever the word speaks. If you are a disagreeable person, if you're contentious, which means you get a thrill out of disagreeing, there's some more to that word, but that's kind of the gist of it here, is somebody that is habitually oppositional, okay? Contentious, somebody that's habitually oppositional, meaning they take joy in opposing or disagreeing. If you're a contentious person when it comes to anything, okay, the Bible says a contentious woman is like this annoying dripping of water. The Bible says it'd be better to live by yourself in a little tiny cabin somewhere than with her or him. These people will drive you batty. You can't live with a contentious person, basically, is the idea. And but some people pride themselves on being disagreeable. Well, when it comes to the word, friends, you're just shooting yourself in your own foot. And no wonder you're not experiencing God's perfect will in your life, because you're not allowing it. You are disagreeing with the word. Every time the word tries to reveal something to you, you have some reason as to why you don't agree with that. You are not going to experience God's perfect will. You may not even experience his the good or the acceptable, even, let alone the perfect, by being constantly oppositional to everything that Jesus is trying to teach you. The way to start is to come back around completely humble and be like, I don't know anything. Whatever Jesus says is the truth. Like, who said that it was even appropriate to even question anything Jesus said? Well, there's your problem right there. If you don't have already, if you haven't already preconceived, like when you go to the Bible, that everything in here is true. I don't know anything, but the Bible knows everything. Holy Spirit knows everything. Jesus knows everything. But if I come to this thinking that there's contradictions or falsities or half-truths or confusions or things in here that are up to me to weigh, to determine if they're true or not, listen, you're all kinds of messed up. You are all kinds of messed up, and you still are futile in your thinking. You still are delusional in your thinking. You're going to have to get that delusion out. You're going to have to approach the Bible saying, whatever I read is going to be the truth, and I'm going to adjust my thinking to whatever I read. Whatever Jesus tells me, I'm going to change, and I'm going to conform to him. I'm going to adapt myself to him, because that's whose righteousness that I've been given access to. There's nobody else's righteousness that you have access to other than Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has been given to us to be our teacher, our tutor, our guide. We're to learn of him. We're to be conformed to him. His righteousness is whose we have. And so it's his way of doing and being and living and thinking and acting that we're learning. And so we have to approach that with us being the one doing the changing. So he's saying here, if you've learned Christ, then you're going to discard your ways of thinking. He's going to reveal to you a new way to think, and you're not going to be delusional. You're not going to resist it. You're not going to fight it, combat it, confront it, or even try to alter it or change it or dilute it in any way. You're going to let that word confront you, and you're going to let that word melt you, change you. You're going to let that word become part of you. You're going to start changing the way you think to match the way the word thinks. And he says this, if you'll do that, then you'll be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, that is verse 23. Let Jesus, or let the truth, let the word confront you, and then allow it to renew or change your thinking way down in there, even in the spirit of the mind. What's that phrase mean? Here's what the spirit of the mind means. The spirit of the mind is the collective grouping of information. It's your memories and it's your experiences. All these things shape your perspective. It shapes your point of reference, and it informs or influences your reaction. That's the spirit of the mind. So you have your whole life, you have everything you've experienced, everything you've seen, everything you've heard, everything been done to you, everything you've done to others. You have all that. And the mind is quite fascinating, actually. When you're confronted with something, There's processes in your mind that happen billions of times a second, and you are trying to place a demand on what you know, what you understand, in order to react or to respond to any situation, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise. And if you don't change that spirit of the mind, the very innermost parts of how you think, then you're going to react the same. And if you don't like the way you react to a particular situation, then obviously, then you know you know very intimately then that you need to make some changes. For example, if somebody says something to you and it just triggers, okay, that's a trendy word right now, but if somebody says something to you and suddenly it just triggers this angry response and you're like, man, why do I do that? Well, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's something in there. There's a way of thinking. You have concluded over the years of your experience, the things you've heard, seen, stuff you've read, stuff you believe. You've concluded that this response is appropriate. Something has confronted that, and now you're questioning, why do I respond this way? Well, what you're coming to understand is that you need to make some changes. Now, this isn't surface stuff. Many times this is deep, 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 deep. This is in the spirit of your mind. This is a stronghold that has been reinforced over time, that's your primary response whenever this happens. And when Jesus starts putting his finger on that and says, that's not appropriate, you've got to begin to do some deep-seated changes in order to change the way you think deep down in the spirit of your mind, so that you no longer respond with that response to that situation. It's possible. You may seem like it's not possible. You may feel like it's not possible. It is possible. And praise God that your mind, your natural mind, the flesh part of you, your mind, I didn't look it up before this, but there's a word. Sorry, I don't remember the exact word, but it's something like your mind is a type of plastic, say. It can be reformed. It can be reshaped. Your mind can be changed. And that's the physical part of you, which is amazing, because that physical part of you is what houses all those memories, all those experiences, everything that you know, everything that makes up you is logged and stored there. But you can change it. You can alter it. You can adjust it. You can relearn. You can learn more things. You can change the way you think. Once you change the way you think, you'll change the way you respond to situations. And that's amazing. Hallelujah. Let's see here. We have to put aside the things. We have to be willing to put aside the things that we, things are the ways that we are familiar with. Not just familiar, but it's all we've known. But just because it's all we've known doesn't mean that's all there is. So this is what Jesus is addressing here. He's saying, this stuff in the spirit of your mind, this is what is informing all of your actions. It's informing your decisions. It's informing how you respond to life and to others around you. But he said, if you allow me to confront that, he said, then I can begin to make changes even deep down within the spirit of your mind, the very core of who you are, things that have been logged in. And he said, I can begin to change those things. And just because it's all you've known or all you've been familiar with, I can bring about truth. I can show you things. That's the amazing thing about Jesus, because just because, you know, your life is all you've ever experienced, Christ can reveal to you things, hallelujah, and put things in you that aren't dependent on your previous experiences. Oh, praise God for it. You're not stuck, is what I'm saying, just because this is what you've experienced, this is what you've seen, this is what you've been told, this is what you learned, this is what you thought you heard, this is what you thought you saw. You're not limited to just those things right there. You have Jesus as your teacher, and he is all truth. Verse 24, kind of a mixture here between the Amplified and some other translations. He says, if you allow him to confront your thinking and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he said, all this is so that you can put on the new you and you can walk in a new way of living, which was created according to God's image, true righteousness. The King James Version says, that you put on the new man. Now you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can put on this new you. You have to change your mind so that this new outfit in Christ, put on Christ, right? This new clothing in him will fit appropriately. You know, you have to renew your mind. Those things work together. Your new life in Christ Jesus is not going to fit appropriately if you have an unrenewed mind. But he says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Of course, righteousness is God's way of doing things. Jesus's way of living and being, that's what's being tailored to us. So ultimately, what I'm saying, that transformation, based on Romans 12:2, transformation is a byproduct of a new or different way of thinking. We could say that transformation comes via agreeing with what Jesus says. Transformation happens by choosing to think his thoughts and agreeing with his words and to judge what he says and reveals as truth. Again, and we're out of time, so I'll have to close it here, but delusion is a way of thinking that resists, it rejects any kind of confrontation with truth. But when we're learning Christ, we have to judge. We need to say, listen, whatever Christ says to me is the truth, and I'm going to use that confrontation to be the pressure to change my way of thinking so it agrees with his. If Jesus says 1 + 1 = 2, then I say, I believe that. If Jesus says being a pervert is wrong, then I say, I agree with that. I say, I believe that. And then I can take that truth and apply it. Allow that truth to be the pressure to bring confrontation to any place in my mind where perversion is floating around unchecked. Okay, that's an example. You can take any truth, whatever Jesus is showing you, you can take that truth and apply the pressure of that truth to anything floating around in your heart or your mind. Use that pressure to say, you know what? It's time to change the way I think in this area. I'm going to agree with him. When I agree with him, then I allow his perfect will to have free reign in my life. Hallelujah. I hope you got something out of this podcast today. I enjoyed getting into the word with you. And listen, don't be delusional, friend. Hallelujah. You probably can look out here in the world and you go, what is going on? Well, I can tell you, it's a lot of delusion. It's a lot of depravity. It's a lot of perversion. That's a lot of futile thinking going on out there, but not you, friend. You're renewing your mind so that you can get over into God's perfect will. Listen, if we can pray for you, we'd be honored to. You can call us 870-741-9099. Leave a message. One of our prayer partners will call you back. You can go to our website, gracecitychurch.tv/prayer. There's a prayer form there. Or you can send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. We love hearing from you. We are honored to be able to pray with you, but we also love celebrating any testimonies that you send in. We love reading them. Let us know what God is doing in your life, my friends. Hey, thank you for tuning in. This has been the Grace for This City podcast. And until next time, be blessed.